Turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 13. Title of the sermon is Leprosy, Skin Disease, or Sin Disease? Is it a skin disease or a sin disease? You know, being in the midst of a pandemic, we can appreciate how disease can threaten society and how we have to think seriously and take certain measures to protect, and the buzzword for the year is to mitigate against spread. And even now it seems that the numbers are back on the rise again, and it almost seems like we've had to deal with disease since the beginning of time itself. Throughout history, there's been a number of pandemics, and pestilence has affected numbers large and small. Nowadays, we've been granted with an increase in medical knowledge and have treatments to help cure many diseases. However, there are still many which have no cure or no treatment. Or maybe the treatment might be hit or miss. Personally, we've lost several friends and family members to cancer, as I'm sure some of you have. Even some of our fellow brothers and sisters have been afflicted with certain incurable diseases. Certainly several come to mind. Tom Ryan, Benita Kyle, and others. And so when we encounter such diagnoses, fear can surface front and center. Life-threatening diseases or procedures can scare us. It might be fear of the treatment or the surgery itself, or maybe even fear of the unknown. And it may be that there isn't a cure, that you have a terminal disease, and it's only a matter of time. These things can unsettle us, shake us up to the core. Disease is no respecter of sex. Both males and females are afflicted. It's no respecter of age. The young and the old alike get sick and succumb to disease. It's no respecter of class. The rich and the poor suffer afflictions. And it's no respecter of the saved or the lost. Christians lose their lives to disease just the same as non-Christians. And if you were ever promised differently, you were dealing with a snake oil salesman. Disease doesn't care if you're rich or famous, if you eat healthy rabbit food, or if you fine dine on donuts and cheeseburgers. You can be healthy, fit and strong one day, and get struck down the next. As we turn to our text, we find God's instructions regarding a scary skin disease called leprosy. And as we'll see, this was a disease to be feared. It could strike at any time with no cure or treatment, no hope. Leviticus chapter 13. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin of his body. And if the hair in the diseased area has turned white, and the disease appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a case of leprous disease. When the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean. But if the spot is white in the skin of his body and appears no deeper than the skin, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest shall shut up the diseased person for 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the 7th day, and if in his eyes the disease is checked, and the disease has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up for another 7 days. And the priest shall examine him again on the 7th day, and if the diseased area has faded and the disease has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only an eruption. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the eruption spreads in the skin, but if the eruption spreads in the skin after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again before the priest. And the priest shall look, and if the eruption has spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous disease. When a man is afflicted with a leprous disease, he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall look. And if there is a white swelling in the skin that has turned the hair white, and there is raw flesh in the swelling, it is a chronic leprous disease in the skin of his body, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. He shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if the leprous disease breaks out in the skin, so that the leprous disease covers all the skin of the diseased person from head to foot, so far as the priest can see, then the priest shall look, and if the leprous disease has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean of the disease. It has all turned white, and he is clean. But when raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean, and the priest shall examine the raw flesh and pronounce him unclean. Raw flesh is unclean, for it is a leprous disease. But if the raw flesh recovers and turns white again, then he shall come to the priest, and the priest shall examine him. And if the disease has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce the diseased person clean. He is clean. Verse 18. If there is in the skin of one's body a boil, and it heals, and in the place of the boil there comes a white swelling, or a reddish-white spot, then it shall be shown to the priest. And the priest shall look, and if it appears deeper than the skin, and its hair has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a case of leprous disease that has broken out in the boil. But if the priest examines it, and there is no white hair in it, and it is not deeper than the skin, but has faded, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And if it spreads in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a disease. But if the spot remains in one place and does not spread, it is the scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or when the body has a burn on its skin, and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a spot, reddish-white or white, the priest shall examine it, and if the hair in the spot is turned white and it appears deeper than the skin, then it is a leprous disease. It has broken out in the burn, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a case of leprous disease. But if the priest examines it, and there is no white hair in the spot, and it is no deeper than the skin, but has faded, the priest shall shut him up 7 days, and the priest shall examine him on the 7th day. If it is spreading in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a case of leprous disease. But if the spot remains in one place and does not spread in the skin, but has faded, it is a swelling from the burn, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is the scar of the burn. Verse 29. When a man or woman has a disease on the head or the beard, the priest shall examine the disease, and if it appears deeper than the skin, and the hair in it is yellow and thin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an itch, a leprous disease of the head or the beard. And if the priest examines the itching disease and it appears no deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut up the person with the itching disease for 7 days, and on the 7th day the priest shall examine the disease. If the itch is not spread, and there is in it no yellow hair, and the itch appears to be no deeper than the skin, then he shall shave himself, but the itch he shall not shave, and the priest shall shut up a person with the itching disease for another 7 days. And on the seventh day, the priest shall examine the itch, and if the itch has not spread in the skin, it appears to be no deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the itch spreads in the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall examine him, and if the itch has spread in the skin, the priest need not seek for the yellow hair, he is unclean. But if in his eyes the itch is unchanged, and the black hair has grown in it, the itch is healed, and he is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Verse 38. When a man or woman has spots on the skin of the body, white spots, the priest shall look. And if the spots on the skin of the body are dull white, it is leukoderma that has broken out on the skin, he is clean. If a man's hair falls out of his head, from his head, he is bald, he is clean. And if a man's hair falls out from his forehead, he has baldness on the forehead, he is clean. But if there is on the bald head or the bald forehead a reddish-white diseased area, it is a leprous disease breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall examine him, and if the disease swelling is reddish-white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, like the appearance of leprous disease in the skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest must pronounce him unclean. His disease is on his head. Verse 45. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. When there is a case of leprous disease in a garment, whether a woolen or a linen garment, in warp or woof of linen or wool, or in skin or in anything made of skin, if the disease is greenish and reddish in the garment or of the skin, or in the warp or the woof or in any article made of skin, it is a case of leprous disease, and it shall be shown to the priest. And the priest shall examine the disease and shut up that which has the disease for 7 days. Then he shall examine the disease on the seventh day. If the disease has spread in the garment, in the warp or the woof or in the skin, whatever be the use of the skin, the disease is a persistent leprous disease. It is unclean. And he shall burn the garment, or the warp or the woof, the wool or the linen, or any article made of skin that is diseased. For it is a persistent leprous disease. It shall be burned in the fire. And if the priest examines, and if the disease has not spread in the garment, in the warp or the woof, or in any article made of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing in which is the disease, and he shall shut it up for another 7 days, and the priest shall examine the diseased thing after it has been washed. And if the appearance of the diseased area has not changed, though the disease is not spread, it is unclean. You shall burn it in the fire, whether the rot is on the back or on the front. But if the priest examines, and if the diseased area has faded after it has been washed, he shall tear it out of the garment, or the skin, or the warp, or the woof. Then if it appears again in the garment, in the warp or the woof, or in any article made of skin, it is spreading. You shall burn with fire whatever has the disease. But the garment, or the warp, or the woof, or any article made of skin from which the disease departs when you have washed it, shall then be washed a second time and be clean. This is the law for a case of leprous disease in a garment of wool or linen, either in the warp or the woof or in any article made of skin, to determine whether it is clean or unclean. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask, Lord, that you would help us this morning to understand, Lord, to guide our lives, to help us reflect on the truth, so we may understand the meaning and the application of your word to each of our lives here this morning. We ask and trust for your help this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, that was a whole lot about skin disease. I don't know, maybe if I was reading that, you were kind of checking over your skin, or do I have an itch, or... That's quite a bit of law regarding leprosy. If someone suspected they had this disease, they would do like we do today. Go and get it checked out. We see this in verse 2. When a person has on the skin of his body a swelling, an eruption, or spot, it turns into a case of leprous disease on his body, he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, to one of his sons the priest. And again in verse 9, when a man is afflicted with leprous disease, he shall be brought to the priest. God designated the priest to inspect and make examination of the skin disease. This is repeated in verses 3, 5, 6, 8, and in fact throughout the entire chapter. The priest was then to make determination of the findings. He evaluated and determined the condition of the skin. What color was it? Was it merely on the surface, or did it seem to be deeper into the tissues? Was there hair in it? Was the skin intact, or was raw flesh exposed? Had it covered all the flesh? Had it become white? And so this inspection evaluation would need to be carried out even for skin that was burned or that had boils, itches. I remember once in my training as a physical therapist being in the burn unit of a major trauma hospital in Houston, and we would gown up and glove and mask and face shield and the whole PPE. And even now, I can distinctly remember the awful smell of burned flesh. Worse than that was when we cared for someone whose burn had become infected. That was a malodorous stench. It was truly nasty. Just like formaldehyde, it's something you never forget. And so the person would come in for examination, and it was up to the priest then to make a determination. Was this a condition of leprosy or something else? Upon examination and evaluation, the priest could make three determinations. The first one is he could determine the person was unclean. If he saw raw flesh or an area which had whitened or appeared to go deep into the tissues or it was spreading, then the priest would declare him unclean. It's the disease. Leprous disease. This is bad news. You got it. You're positive. You have the dreaded disease. The other determination he can make is that you were clean. If it was benign, they could declare that the person was clean. If it was just spots on the skin, dull white spots, or leucoderma, some translations say freckled skin, or harmless rash, even the eczema. That's okay. That's not a big deal. They're clean. Even in the case of losing your hair, we saw verses 40 and 41. You're bald, but you're clean. You know, male pattern baldness is another effect of a fallen world. But you don't have leprosy. So the person would be declared clean. This was good news. You're negative. You don't have the dreaded disease. Well, the third thing that could happen is quarantine. If the priest needed more time to observe the disease and its progression, this was the third option. We see this in verse 4. If the spot is white, the skin of his body appears no deeper than the skin, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest shall shut up the diseased person for 7 days. And then, upon re-examination, if the disease is not spread, he would quarantine him for another 7 days. Because if it did spread, then what? You got the disease. You got leprosy. But if it did not spread, they quarantined him for another 7 days. This is in verse 5. The priest shall examine him on the seventh day, and if in his eyes the disease is checked, and the disease is not spread in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up for another 7 days. This would also apply to the boils, and also to the cases of itching in the beard. The priest could shut the subject up for 7 days and then re-examine. So this is a wait and see. And we can understand how this time of uncertainty can weigh heavily on some. Just as in our days, we find ourselves waiting for the results of a test. Many thoughts go racing through our minds. Lots of what ifs. What if I have this? What if it's that or this? So then, as we move from inspection and evaluation, what would then happen to someone who was declared clean? Okay, so doc, I got it. Now what do I do? What do we do about it? Where do we go from here? But remember, the priest was not in a position to offer treatment. Instead, they were given these mandated measures that had to be followed. Surely one reason for this examination and these mandated measures would be to prevent an outbreak of disease within the Israelite community. But I think as we talk about these measures, we're going to be reminded of our natural state, our anthropological state, the state of man before holy God. When a person was determined to be free of disease and declared clean, he was obligated to ceremonially wash. Saw this in verse 6. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. And again, in verse 58, the article would be washed a second time and be clean. However, if it turned out that garment was diseased, then it would be disposed of by burning. So we can see how this can be protective of the community. Now, if someone had the disease, if someone had contracted leprosy, their condition did not improve but worsened, well, they were not burned up, but instead they had to endure other hardships. Recall, there wasn't a cure, so the priest did not prescribe treatment or medication. In fact, this was usually a death sentence, a terminal condition. Remember Moses, when God gave Moses the sign of the leper's hand. You know, I'm pretty sure that would have freaked him out. Exodus 4:6-8 says, again, the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak. And he put his hand inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said, put your hand back into your cloak. So he put his hand back inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. This would have been a powerful sign. A sign of death and then a sign of coming back to life. Recall what happened with Miriam and Aaron when they opposed Moses because he married a Cushite woman. Notice how Aaron describes this disease in Numbers 12. In verses 8 through 12, he says, God is saying, why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. When the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous like snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, do not punish us because we've done foolishly and have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb. You see, they knew the devastating effects of this disease. It was a death sentence. And so therefore we can understand these outward signs of God's command in verse 45. Where he says, a leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and she shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. Visually, this rent clothing, the unkempt hair, the covered face would reflect this state of mourning, the grief of the leper. The voice sounded out the warning of their condition for all to hear and see. These visual and auditory warnings were a constant reminder that the leper was essentially a walking dead man. As if that was not enough to endure, then they were banished from the camp. They were forced to live outside of the camp. They were restricted from any further gatherings from society. They were restricted from family and friends, restricted from worship, from enjoying the means of grace. They were an outcast, exiled, persona non grata. They were perpetually unclean, no longer to enjoy the blessings of the covenant people. We're no longer accepted. Finally, they were required to live alone. Loneliness. No family. No friends. No one to hang out with. Many of us know what it is to be lonely. But imagine being alone for the rest of your life. They were relegated to the edge of society, merely waiting for their last day to come. No hope, no companion, no friends, no one. A pitiful existence. So when it comes to leprosy, its exam and the directions from God, what does that have to do with my life? Does leprosy still exist today? In fact, it does. But you'll be glad to know that there's a cure, treatment with antibiotics. But our text is here to remind us that we have a far more serious condition than a life-threatening skin disease. And this is the main point I want to leave with you. We don't have a skin condition. We have a sin condition. A spiritual condition where we are like the walking dead. Things used to be great. Things used to be perfect. You see, despite what evolutionists may say, disease has not always existed. And we can be certain that disease was not at the beginning of creation, because the Bible says in Genesis 1:31 that God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Everything that God made was good. Things got messed up when Adam and Eve doubted God's word. They were told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in the day that you eat it, you surely will die. They doubted God's word. And ever since, death, disease, and misery entered in. A terrible consequence of Adam and Eve sinning in the Garden of Eden. Part of the curse and the consequences of living in a fallen world. And this curse and fallen nature has been passed down to all of Adam's posterity, to every human being. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. This sin condition, it's this resulting consequence, and the ramifications that each of us have to live with. You see, each one of us has this terminal condition. And it's both spiritual disease and a physical disease. Each one of you the statistic being 10 out of 10, each one of you will die someday. Man's sin condition leads to 100% physical death, unless the Lord returns. But the other aspect of our condition is a spiritual consequence. Without faith in Jesus, we are condemned to die in our sins. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. The Bible goes on to say that there is none righteous, not even one. See, this is the sin condition that we inherited when we were conceived. But we can't just blame Adam, cast blame on him as if we're innocent. We've all desired and given way to sin. James 1:15 says, "Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." The wages of sin is death. And so all of us, by our sinful condition, we're alienated and are in enmity. We're at war with God. Ephesians 2:3 says, "We all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." Our sinful nature has been revealed to us in the Bible. We saw it in the fall of the Garden of Eden. It was also revealed to the Israelites in Exodus 15. It says, "There the Lord God made them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, 'If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer.'" But they were unfaithful. Just as we have been unfaithful to God by breaking his commandments. We've all sinned against holy God. And so the curse that we are under is because of our sin. The terminal condition is spiritual death, where we're separated from God forever and will be punished in hell. This is the bad news. You have this disease. This is the worst case scenario. And there's nothing left to do. There's no cure in and of ourselves. There's no amount of medicine, no scientific discovery, nothing that man can do of his own will save you from this predicament. We have been given a death sentence because of the disease of sin. We are unclean. But God, in his wonderful and amazing love, mercy and kindness, has provided a cure, provided a way whereby we can be healed. The cure and the healing was prophesied in Hosea. Listen to this. Hosea 6:1. "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up." In Hosea 14:4, he says, "I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them." We recognize God's healing in his promise to Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. The Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." A beautiful promise. God is loving and he is patient. He's promised to send peace, peace that surpasses all understanding. Isaiah 57, he says, "For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would grow faint before me, and the breath of life that I made. Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry, I struck him. I hid my face and was angry, but he went on backsliding in the way of his own heart. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners, creating the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord. And I will heal him." Listen to how Jeremiah cried out for his people to turn back to the Lord, to repent and be saved. In Jeremiah 3, it says, "A voice on the bare heights is heard, the weeping and the pleading of Israel's sons, because they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, O faithless sons, I will heal your faithfulness. Behold, we come to you, for you are the Lord our God." You see, we need to fear the Lord. Not disease. Not your physical condition. Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Your body will one day meet its end, but the soul will live on forever. But the question that faces each one of you is, will it be an eternity in the presence of God, or to perish in hell? The bad news is that left to ourselves, our own strength, our own sense of goodness, our own sense of what God should or should not be like, if we lean on our own understanding, we will be the object of God's wrath. We need a Savior. We need to be healed from our sin disease. Without God, your life is wasting away like rotting flesh of the leper. And one day it might be too late. The good news is you can be cured from the terminal spiritual condition. You can be reborn unto new life. God sent his only son, Jesus, to become a man, to fulfill all the law, what you and I couldn't do for ourselves. And in a miraculous transaction on Calvary, he stepped into our place and took upon himself our sin and the punishment we deserve. He laid down his life willingly as a perfect sacrifice. He was killed on the cross, buried, and then rose to life 3 days later. 1 Corinthians 15:21 says, "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." He's the only one who has the power over death and disease. He not only demonstrated his power at the cross, but he demonstrated his power to a leper. There's a new series out called The Chosen. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to see this or not. I highly recommend it. I think it's very good. In a moving scene, a leper approaches Jesus. And the disciples are quick to protest. "Jesus, he's a leper. He's unclean." You know, the implication is, if you touch him or he touches you, you will become unclean. In Mark 1:40-44, it says, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, 'I will be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean." By touching the leper, Jesus was not made unclean. Instead, he made the leper clean. This is the power of God. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus calls you by name to come to him, to no longer be on the outside, to no longer be an outcast. And he alone has the power to make you clean, to save you from your sins, to rescue you from the terminal condition of spiritual death. But faith and repentance are not for sale. They're not covered by medical insurance. These are gifts. Romans 5 says, "But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For judgment following one's trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." This is the best news in the world. You can be forgiven. You can be saved. You can be made clean and be at peace with God. But sometimes in the midst of our bad circumstances, we can have doubts. John the Baptist had doubts. In fact, his disciples came to Jesus saying, John had sent them saying, "Are you the one or should we expect another?" And you know what Jesus did? He demonstrated his power to answer John's doubts. When the men came to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you saying, are you the one who is to come or shall we look for another?" In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleaned, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Jesus put on a demonstration of his power for the benefit of John the Baptist, attesting to his messianic claims that Jesus indeed is the Son of God. John, you don't have to look elsewhere. It looks bleak. You're about to die, but we can face any trial, any disease, any sentence, even death itself, because of Jesus' promise. His beautiful promise. John 6. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." That's why Paul could be so steadfast and certain when he declared, in Romans 8, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You must repent of your sins and place your complete faith in Jesus alone. He is the only one who can save, who has the power. The gospel is the only cure, the only hope by which man can be saved from spiritual death. And when you've been cured of your sin condition, then you've been made clean indeed. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. As we learned about leprosy and the measures that were required, we are reminded that we have a disease that was worse than leprosy. God, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy that you bestowed on us in sending us your Son, and that through his death and resurrection, you have saved us, removed us, taken away from our sin, taken our sin away from us. So we are so grateful for your love and your saving grace. May we be bold to take this hope and this cure into all the world. The world is lost. The world is hurting. The world has rejected and is in rebellion of you. They are the walking dead. God, use us to shine the light, to give them the hope, to give them the gospel that saves and will make them clean. We ask in your name.